There is such a word, there is one word, that if there's probably nobody around us or who we know that doesn't utilize this word, a man, woman, child, etc. And it's not just that we use this word sometimes, infrequently, rather in the day, many times or a few times at least this word will emanate from our mouths. And in our lives, many, many times over, we will have mentioned this word, utilized this word. This is a common word, and it's the word called sadness. Sadness, or distress, or upset. Someone will say, oh, I'm upset, I can't find a job. Or I'm feeling down, I'm ill. Or my car, I bought a nice car, I don't know what's happened, I'm upset. Car's not running properly. Well, I'm very upset that I put some windows, installed some new windows in the house, and there's a draft coming in through the gaps. In other words, there are many examples of stories or events, and from every event emanates the conclusion of sadness. Ajib. That a mu'min, a believer, to use the word sadness, upset, and the angels, they laugh. The angels, they laugh. Are these people with iman? They have iman. Okay, fair enough. I'm upset. I'm sad. This is not happening. My certain affair is not happening. Then, for example, I'll be happy, isn't it? If, for example, I get what I want. And if the job goes, then I'm upset again. If I get a job, then I'm happy again. And the distresses of life, the ups and downs of life, they don't leave us because they are self-made. Because being upset or sad or feeling down is nothing. Because if we attain what we want, then there's no feeling upset, is there? The article, the item, the issue that we want to resolve. If it's resolved, then we won't be upset. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the people of Iman, has made a true promise. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The people of Iman, Allah ta'ala has made a true promise, and it's the same promise. Such a situation that Allah Ta'ala has set aside, and we don't utilize it, we don't do amal on it, we don't practice on it, we're that foolish, we're that silly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the easiest amal that will resolve our issues. I can't find a job, you'll find a job, subhanallah. Oh, this certain affair of mine, it's become an issue. Allah says the issue will go away, totally you'll be fine. How can it not be that you won't be fine? Allah, I'm very ill and I'm upset. You will be okay, the illness will go. The illness will go. What a big statement. How Allah? How will it go? Allah says, do this amal I'm telling you, that I've told you, it's a very easy amal. A very easy practice, but we don't do it. Imagine, we have mounds and stacks of problems and problems everywhere. We're distressed and we're upset. Oh, I need something. I'm desperate. I'm in a desperate, sad state of affairs. We utilize the wrong avenues to solve our affairs. We have iman, we come off track, we come off the motorway and go off down the wrong side streets to attain what we want, because I can't sleep, I'm not happy, I'm not content, unless I get this, what I want. And to get it, what do? We utilize the wrong methods, the wrong paths, and then the adab comes. But why don't we do the action that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed to us? Shall I tell you that amal that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed? Say it loudly. Yes, inshallah. It's a big point. And if we do this amal that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed, all our affairs will be resolved. Tell me anyone here who's not sitting down, who doesn't have an issue or problem in life. Problems upon problems, small problems, big problems. We all have demands. We all have lists of demands to Allah. Then, for example, even if I don't think about it, the heart at least asks for things on a regular basis, doesn't it? Oh, I'd like to go here, have some food, I'd like to go take away, or I'd like if at home something's good. And the question doesn't arise that maybe it's cooked, maybe my nose won't smell it for months, for a very long time. But look how Allah Ta'ala has prepared a scenario, subhanAllah, that everything can become possible. That Allah Ta'ala says, I love the people of Iman, Allah says, and we are the foolish people. We are stupid. We don't utilize the means that Allah Ta'ala has given to us so we can attain what we want, what we need. Do we want to do this amal? Should we do this amal? Yes, we should do it openly. We should blatantly do this amal. All of the desires we have, they will come line by line, one by one after the other. And they will be given to us in a full way. This is such an easy amal, such an easy practice. And it's not difficult. We don't need to struggle. We don't need to strive. No sweating, no toiling. Very easy action to perform. What is that? Allah Ta'ala says, do dua. Ask me. Ask me. Ad'uni. That's it. Hasn't Allah Ta'ala said this? What is dua? Allah Ta'ala says, ask from me. Allah says, I'm the Khaliq, I'm the creator of all of the treasures of the universe. And every desire of yours, I have the answer. Allah Ta'ala says, ask me so much that you will get tired of asking. And I will give you more over and above that what you ask. Allah says, you will tire from asking. You will tire from taking. You will tire from counting the money. You will tire so much. You will keep on asking, but Allah Ta'ala says, I will never tire of giving to you. Never. Ud'uni astajib lakum, Allah Ta'ala says. Ud'uni, you ask, I will give. You ask, I will give. And this is the dua. This is the dua. The all amal, all deeds, this is the fountain of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. The fountain of Allah Ta'ala's giving. Do you understand? For example, we have the brain of the body. That's the center point of, you can say, activity in terms of thinking and intellect. So if we imagine that we have a connection with Allah, the Khaliq, Allah says, everything is in my control. Everything is in my control. From a needle, if you've lost a needle and you want to find the needle, Allah says, I'll make you find that needle. That pin, Allah says, kingdoms, wealth, and whatever you want, illness, and you want to turn to a good health, Allah says, bring all the illnesses. I am Shafiul Amarad. I am the one who cures all illnesses. I'm Qadir, Mutalaq. I have the total power. There's nothing lacking in my power. Allah says, well, you are so foolish. And you think that Allah Ta'ala cannot give. Why should I ask from Allah? Allah won't give to me. I want it faster. Oh, subhanallah. Let's make us do ibadah, sujood, prostration, dhikr, read Quran, hajj and umrah. But we don't know how to ask from our Rabb, from our Lord, from our Master, from our Protector. It's a habit, isn't it? Just to raise their hands. I've seen many people like this. They just put their hands up automatically. And they just make a habit, and then they wipe their hands on their face. But they don't know what they've asked for. And when they're wiping their hands on their face, you ask the person, he will want something else, and he's not even asked for what he needs. What is it that he doesn't need, that person? What is it that she doesn't need? But we don't ask, and then we go outside and we cry. We cry. We cry in front of people, and we say, oh Lord, please solve my problem. I'm very depressed. Please, if you've got something, tell me advice. And we're crying outside, and we've just met our Lord in His home. Allah Ta'ala, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing. We don't ask from Allah. Allah says, I've made you come to praise Allah for this reason, subhanallah. And I am now, for example, giving you the translation or the commentary of Salah. In the light of hadith, Allah says, my servant, I invited you to the masjid to pray salah to me. I pushed you to my home so you can pray salah. And I wanted one thing, that after praying salah, you should have presented to me your needs. Aha, subhanallah, subhanallah. Oh foolish person, Allah Ta'ala says, I am a Rabb. I'm upset that you don't ask from me. You don't ask from me. Imagine. And Allah says, I prepared you, I took you away from sins, I made you do wudu, I saved you from shaitan, I took you from home, your home, I brought you to dhikr, the dhikr gathering. It wasn't fard, it wasn't compulsory. I know that I like my dhikr, and I know that you can come there. And Allah, I went to your gathering so that I could do tawbah after dhikr. And Allah says, I brought you, you were sat down, I could see you were distressed, you were depressed, you had a whole list of issues and problems, you were stuck in difficulties. Allah said, I prepared everything for you, and then you forgot to ask from me. Allah says, what you should have done is that you should have written everything on a piece of paper. I need this, I need A, B, C, D, E, etc. Just like you go to a grocery store and you make the shopping list. Like, give me this much meat, give me this meat, give me this many onions, give me this much vegetables. We are confident, we have confidence, don't we, when we go there. And sometimes it happened, for example, it happened with me once, that I took the list, the shopping list, and I went with all of the food and I went to the counter and I'd forgotten the money at home. Can I buy it? He said, please leave and come back with the money. Please put everything back, the stock back on the shelf. Come back with the money. 30, 45 minutes it took me to select everything. We'll eat this today, we'll eat this today, we'll have this bread today, we'll have this yogurt today. And I was happy. And everything was going into the basket with passion. And desire. Allah Ta'ala knew that you'll go to the till and you'll get nothing. Why? Because the value that you have to pay, you didn't bring that value. Subhanallah. So now, we have come to Allah's home and we forget the list at home. So why have you come to me? Allah Ta'ala says, I don't need your prostration. Allah says, I don't need your dhikr. What dhikr will you do? Allah says, I don't need your dhikr, your remembrance. Allah says, what game are you playing? Are you there for reward? Allah says, I'll give you reward anyway. Oh foolish person, ask from me what you need for which I've called you. Allah says, take your list out. Why don't you take out your list? Allah Ta'ala says, whatever you want to be saved from haram, you want to save your eyesight, you want to protect yourself from evil. Allah says, ask me whatever you want, I am a Rabb, I will give to you. So a point arises here, due to which Allah Ta'ala becomes displeased. Now Allah Ta'ala becomes displeased for this reason, that my servant has iman, he has belief, he's brought about iman, but he's a fraudster. Allah Ta'ala says, I don't need such iman, in with which there is no yaqeen, no certainty. So Allah says, I don't need your iman, I don't need your belief if you don't have yaqeen, certainty. Allah says, I have no link with your iman. Allah says, what I want to see is the iman that I've given to you, this gift that I've given to you, that Allah Ta'ala says, upon which I've given you iman, do you have yaqeen on Allah as well? Allah says, if you have yaqeen, or if you had yaqeen, then who is there? That Allah Ta'ala says, you have iman on me, you believe in me, you say my name, and you go to other gods to ask. When you have a problem, then you run to other people. You run to other people for assistance. You ask them for help. You run them desperately crying. And this happens a lot nowadays especially. Isn't this the case? So much so. And this is this iman? Who am I prostrating to? Is this my salah? Is this my dhikr? Tell me. I know that what I'm doing is haram. I know that this is wrong. And I think, oh, I need rizq, I need wealth, I need to run after the wrong solutions. This is the drama that takes place in people's life. They know it's haram. But why do we fear that if I leave this, I will die hungry? And we don't say that, Allah, this is haram, this rizq is haram. Quickly, Allah, take me away from haram and take me to halal. And if the doors don't open, then tell me. If I swear by Allah that the doors to halal will open. They will open. I know that this action that I'm doing, I know that due to this action I'm leaving salah. I'm passing by the masjid and I look at the masjid, I'm desperate. But my job is such that I cannot enter into the masjid. You should bow down and cry, Allah, oh, why am I stuck in this job, in this occupation? Is this life? Give me a life so I can pray salah. I can pray salah too. I swear by Allah, Allah Ta'ala will give you the job in which you can pray salah. You can pray salah. All life long we consume haram, unlawful, and we leave salah all life long. And who do we blame? We blame our destiny. We blame other things, separate things. We complain to Allah. Allah, astaghfirullah. We complain to Allah. We blame Allah. Imagine, indirectly we're blaming Allah. That, why is it I can do? How can I work? If I don't work, I can't get a job. And how am I going to... That, have you sat down and sincerely asked from Allah? Have you got up at the Hajj time and begged to Allah? Have you? And those things that we need to ask for, there's a way of asking. Listen to this clearly. There's a way of asking. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like the method of asking. Allah, please give me this. No, no. Allah could give you any time, whether you ask from your heart or your tongue. Allah says that I like you to ask in such a way that just like a child asks from the mother. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That, Amma, I want some money. Please, Mom, get back. Mom, I want to buy this. Please, get this for me. Have you seen the game? In the shop, in the store, this will happen with you as well. Your mom's not giving. Why, Mom, you're not giving? Why is she not giving? I'll tell you that if you become the mother, then you'll realize she enjoys the small things the child's asking, and she enjoys that the child is wrapped around the mother, and she's enjoying this. She likes the embracing of the child, the begging of the child. Oh, get back. Why are you pestering me? And then she gives love to the child as well. Okay, I'll give you. Just wait, wait, I'll give to you. Wait. That then the child cries and pleads and runs after mother. Mother kisses the child and puts a hand on the head, child's head. So this is a game. The Allah Ta'ala says that I have more love for my creation, more than 100,000 million, more than millions of mothers put together. Allah says that if the mother enjoys the child pleading, the Allah says, do I not enjoy when my creation pleads to me? So it doesn't take long in Allah giving. It doesn't take long for Allah to give. If your mother can give to you and you're crying, and then you cry and plead, then eventually he says, oh, go and take this and buy it and eat. You're crying for this, aren't you? Then she'll dry your tears and wipe your tears and give to you. Allah Ta'ala says that in my giving to you, I delay in giving to you, a foolish person. Don't go far from me at that time. Don't leave my side. This is a game between you and me. This is the game of love between Allah, Rabbul Alameen, and His creation. And the more you cry, Allah says, the more reward you will get when you attain what you need. When we start asking from Allah, then we black out, we ask for a week, and then we say, oh no. Oh, I asked for so much, and I couldn't get. Allah Ta'ala says, look, He doesn't have yaqeen upon me, Allah Ta'ala says. He himself doesn't have love for me. What does he know? Then Allah says, go. go and ask from somebody else and see what you get. All your life long you will go from pillar to post, you go to amils, exorcists and magicians, and they'll do weird actions that make you leave salah. Oh, I'm getting weaker, my batin has got diseases, I ask for dua, nothing's happened, complaints upon complaints to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we become disobedient. No, the method is what? Like the mother, keep on asking, mother, please give to me, because we know Allah will give, not today, if not tomorrow, then another day. A pious person was asked that, where are you asking this dua so much? He said, 40 years continuously I asked from Allah, 40 years. And I did not decrease my yaqeen. I knew that Allah Ta'ala has promised, I will give. Allah said, I will give. And can Allah's promise not be true? No, of course it cannot. Subhanallah, Allah says, I will give. And the biggest fact here is Allah Ta'ala said, I favored you so much, I've given you the ability that you're asking from me, Allah says. This is my biggest favor on you. Allah says, take a person who doesn't believe, who disbelieves, who doesn't believe in Allah as the Rabb. Allah says, he has no path. Who can he or she go to? The person who has no iman. They have no source of giving. They have no source to ask from. Allah says, that person cannot even come to me to ask, subhanAllah. The doors are not even open for that person. Allah says, due to you, you have iman. I've given you the tawfiq, the ability that you can come to me with a broken heart and raise your hands. I've given you the ability. So Allah says, if I've given you the path and I've opened the door for allow you with my favors to raise your hands and do dua, then Allah says, don't run away if you don't get what you want. Allah says, Allahummaftah li abwaab rahmatik. Allah Ta'ala says, open the doors of my home, the person who's raised his hands. Allah says, then I open the doors of my mercy for that person. That Allah says, maftah abwaab jannah. I open the doors of Jannah. Allah Ta'ala says the doors of paradise are jabat. Yani, I open the doors of acceptance for that person. So my brothers, such a great method Allah Ta'ala has given to us. I swear by Allah, we don't utilize it. We cry. We shouldn't be ill. We shouldn't be distressed. All of our desires. I tell you the reality here, that in your heart you have a desire, you want to eat something. Then ask from Allah. Ask him, if it doesn't come, then tell me. That take your request and deliver it to Allah. The request will be made and the item will come according to your desire. The question doesn't arise that Allah Ta'ala, if He's made a promise, He won't give to you. That Allah Ta'ala says, I have a deep connection with my servant's creation. And the person who asks, let's see, if a king, you take a king, take an officer, you go to ask an officer, or you want to get a loan from somebody, or you go to the bank, you go to get some money from somebody. There are barriers between going and getting accepted. There are restrictions. There are obstacles. That, oh, for example, fill in this form, get this signature, take a guarantee out, do this and do that. Thousands of restrictions. What's here on this side? Rabbi Kainat, Lord of the universe, Allah says that any person of the world, nobody will come in between, no angel will come in between us. You will ask me, Allah says, and I will hear you. You will ask me and I will hear you. Direct connection with Allah. And the direct connection is the best. If you want to phone somebody, your sheikh or somebody comes in between, you have to go to somebody, then the word is delivered to the sheikh. And the sheikh, if he says, no, you have a direct connection with me, you can ask me directly. You haven't even asked and he gives you the answer. What an easy method. Sometimes you want to deliver a message, you have to go through others, obstacles. So Allah Ta'ala says, direct connection. You have a direct dialogue with me. Subhanallah. And you just have to dial the number. How? Allahumma, Allahumma. That's it. Allah, I request from you. Allah, I plead from you. Allah says, ask me directly. For example, if you go to somebody to ask, you would say, Janabi Ali, respected, honorable, sir, my lord, your highness, etc., my dear, this and that, because he has a big status, you want to ask something from that person. But Allah Ta'ala says, when you come to me, just say, Allah, say my name, my personal name. Request me via my personal name, Allah Ta'ala says. And I will give you what you need. Call me. Allah says, I've given you freedom to call me from my name. Allah, I need this. Ask like this, Allah Ta'ala says. I have love for my creation. Because Allah Ta'ala says, my relationship with you is many thousands of times stronger than the love of the mother and the child. When we ask for, mother, I want this story. Mom, give me this. Mom, I need this. I need to take this home. Allah says, who's the mother? Speak to me like this. Allah, give this to me. Allah, please give me this. Allah, why you give me problems? Allah, please give me halal rizq. Give me halal earnings. Allah, do this for me. Why don't you allow this for this stuff? And Allah, do this. Keep on saying. Keep on asking. After every salah, after every dhikr gathering, not once, 5 times, 10 times, Allah, please do this for me. Allah, take this sinless away from me. Allah, take this sinless away from me. Allah, take this sinless away from me. Keep on saying, keep on saying, keep on saying, keep on asking. And the person who doesn't have this yaqeen, certainly, then I've told you this, you will get what you want. But how? Just like the mother gives eventually. Allah says, you have to embrace me, come to me, ask from me, beg from me. Allah says, go take what you need and I will give to you when I will give to you, and you will get what you need. So I've seen in a collection, a kitab, a hadith, a beautiful hadith, and when a person will go into paradise, then while he's going to Jannah, when he goes into paradise, the angels, they will honor that person, greet that person, they will put out food mats for that person, and there'll be a great environment for that person when he will go from this dunya, a person like us who's a joker, and they'll have food and dishes and drinks and different delicacies and beautiful maidens and women, and he will open his eyes out, his eyeballs will be glaring, "Oh, I'm in paradise, amazing, shocking, what's happening here? What's here?" And his jaws would be dropped. There will be a people like us, inshallah. Allah, this? Is this for me? Things I cannot imagine. What you've set aside for me. And this is just the initiation. This is the introductory feast that Allah Ta'ala is giving. You know, sometimes you have like the starter in a feast. And a person will go mad just in the starter. In the introductory course. And the angels will be serving and he'll be watching and looking. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address his servant, that Allah will say, that are you here? Why are you sitting there afraid? You're here now. Allah will say, what are you afraid of now? Why are you shocked? This is Jannah, my servant. Eat, drink and be merry. This is halal, everything that's been given to you. You've left that dunya, pick this up now. Take what you want, eat with disrespect, whatever you want, jump on it, and there will be paradise. And people will jump over each other, and his glass of alcohol he will grab, and his grapes, and he will take his money, and they will laugh at each other. I'll tell you, this is the truth. This is the environment of Jannah. They will be playing games, and grabbing, and taking from others, and there will be great, great enjoyment, laughter, and enjoyment, different laws, different scenario in paradise. And they'll say, Allah, is this ours? And Allah will say, this is all for you. Eat and drink and enjoy yourselves. When Allah will say this, then they will be the ashiks in paradise, the lovers of Allah. And they will know that why we were alive in the world, what were our actions, what did we do? And after seeing all of this, they'll say, Allah, subhanallah, all of this that you give to us, we are so grateful to you. But you said something else, subhanallah, I enjoyed it by reading this. You promised something else, Allah, that when insan, when he lives a life in this world with ishq, with love of Allah, then Jannah for them hasn't got a taste, because the yaqeen increases so much. Imagine, we don't even have this yaqeen that we're asking from Allah. What will happen in hereafter? That Jannah is so massive. Person who was here naked and had poverty and no clothes to wear and hunger and thirst after going to paradise, and he will see all of the rewards, and he will be in the corner of paradise and his jaws will drop. They say, Allah, these are great rewards, that we are amazed at what you are giving here, and these are great rewards and ni'mas you are giving. But Allah, you promised something else in the world. Aha, subhanallah. Allah will say, what did I promise to you, my servant? Allah is khabir and basir. Allah knows what that person's thinking. Allah knows, but Allah Ta'ala wants the servant to utter it from his mouth so the angels can bear witness and testify. The angels will be amazed at what kind of foolish people have come. They're asking Allah for more. They'll say, Allah, you promised something else. They haven't eaten anything yet. They've not taken any food yet from Jannah. And Allah will say, tell me, what promises I have not fulfilled, my servant? They'll say, Allah, your promise was something else. They'll say it again. Allah will say, what promises it that I have not fulfilled of yours? They'll say, Allah, you promise that you will allow us to see you. Subhanallah. Ha-ha. What link do we have with Jannah, Allah? These rewards and hoods and maidens and wives. We left everything in the world, in the dunya, that we gave up. My Mawla, my Master, my Protector. We sold ourselves in the world. We left haram and we lowered our gaze and we controlled our desires. We took the dhulam and the oppression that happened to us in the world and the swears we to take when we practiced the sunnah of your Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We sacrificed our desires. We didn't do this for this reason. So we come into paradise to eat and drink. We weren't hungry. Allah, we had love for you. Allah, we listen to your sayings. We wanted to see you. Why are you delaying in us seeing you? Subhanallah. That's it. When they will say this, and Allah will hear this, Allah will say to the angels, Subhanallah, I can't hear Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah loudly. Huh? Have you gone to sleep? MashaAllah. So Allah will say, oh angels, now don't delay, hasten. Hasten, don't delay, quickly lift the veils and take away the barrier between me and my servants. They haven't eaten anything yet. They haven't drunk anything yet. Allah will say, remove the veils. The angel will say, Allah, Allah, they're hungry, they haven't got clothes, they're servants. You don't show yourself to the servants, and they're busy. And they were saying that, Allah, we took the messages from these people to you. Who are these people who have come? Allah, these are human beings, and you are going to show yourself to these people? They are not worthy of seeing you, and you're telling us to remove the veils. Then listen to the answer. Allah said that you call these people human beings? These are not those human beings that you used to see in the world, subhanAllah. Allah said that these are those people who did my dhikr, who remembered me for my sake. They gave up their time. SubhanAllah, if they needed the dunya, then why would I make them do my dhikr? They would have sat on money and gold and haram and driven big cars. Allah says, remove the veils, and where are those people who remembered me in the dunya? Who you said that these are the sinful people, they're the lovers of the world, they've got big status and rank in the world, and they're lost in the dunya, and everyone in the world would bow to them. These are the people, Allah. And copy these people. They're the best. Allah say, remove the veils and show them the jalak. Show them a little bit. And when they will be shown their hal, these are those people that you used to be proud of, that you used to obey, and that you used to envy. Allah said, but these people had yaqeen in their Rabb, they left the dunya and they absorbed the zulm in the world, and they used to remember me. Allah will say, they used to remember me. And you are talking about these people, that these are human beings who are sinful? No, these are not those people. Allah said that in the world they didn't enjoy themselves with anything. Their ruh, their spirit, their inner self would be desperate. All night long they would wait for the time of the night that their ruh, their body would be desperate just for one thing, that we want to worship to Allah. We want isolation, the last part of the night, or the part of the night where we can get up and prostrate to our Lord. The Sahaba Ikram, were they not included in this verse? Sujood, of marks of prostration on their foreheads, the marks on their bodies that they used to remember Allah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And the third point here, subhanallah, praise be to Allah, glory be to Allah. Allah Ta'ala says that you are seeing these people now. Allah says all their lives, their 70, 80, 90 years of their life in the world, they spent in this time. How can somebody stay like this for that long? That what you used to see, the scenario, the situation, but how did they live? They used to live with dhikr. My dhikr, Allah says, my prostration. Not just this, rather on top of that, they had another condition which was something to witness. What was that situation? They had so much love. They were drowned in Allah's love that always there were tears coming out of their eyes. And they used to plead desperately to Allah. They used to raise their hands and plead to Allah. Allah, please, Allah, we want your nearness. Allah, we want your nearness. Allah says, remove the veils. Remove the veils, Allah will say. The veils will be removed, subhanAllah. And when they will see Allah, they'll say, Allah, we are pleased with you, Allah. We are pleased with you. Please feed us now what you want. Feed us. We are happy with you. We are happy with you. Brothers, ask for Jannah. Allah says, didn't I tell you, ask Jannah from me? Ask for my love. Ask for my qurb. I have given you dua for this reason. I've given you the ability to ask from me for this reason. And those who ask, they will attain this in the hereafter. Brothers, appreciate the fact that we are able to do dua. That sometimes we could get a minor thing. For example, I live in a council house. And I'm struggling in a council house, and suddenly some money comes into my life and I get a nice house, which is my own home. What will I do? Oh, here, put this here. Oh, lay a carpet here. Is that man mad that this is my own house? I want to do this. And he's hungry that I have my own home, and he keeps seeing other people. Suddenly he gets a house. Allah gives to him. This much money has come. A cheap bargain. And then wife and children, is this a house? Oh, let's put this carpet here. And let's go here. This way we'll do this. We'll put some lights here. And they will decorate the house so much that every room they will try to decorate. Do they do this or not? Tell me. Of course they do. So Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you a tool. I've given you a resource, a great resource of dua, of asking from me. I've opened the doors of my rahmah. I've opened the doors of paradise. I've opened the doors of acceptance. And if Allah says, those doors do 100% open. And then those people whose hands raise, and they see the rahmah, the mercy of Allah has come down. Many events are opening. My heart is opening. But I don't want to waste your time too much, because we will do dhikr inshallah. But many great events of the pious predecessors come to my mind, and what they saw and the enjoyment that they achieved and that they attained. So always, always appreciate dua. We are not at loss. We are not at loss from anything. Remember this point. Remember why? Why? Because Allah is our Rabb who will give to us. Allah is our Khaliq. Allah is our Malik. Allah is Yahiyu Ya Qayyum. Al Hayyu Ya Qayyum. He is the Malik. He is the Razik. All the treasures are in His control. And nobody can stop Allah from giving. And we are those who ask from Allah. Who? Those who are recommended, who are appointed. Allah says Himself, ask from me. Ask for me. So don't be afraid. Just wait and have patience. May it not be that you ask and you ask and you get tired. No. Never say this. 40 years you have to ask for the same thing. Keep on repeating. Allah give me this. Allah give me this. Allah give me this. Allah give me this. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. Shaitan, if we listen to his dua, if Allah Ta'ala can accept his dua, then will Allah Ta'ala not accept our duas? Tell me. Tell me. Just a common point here, we have to do wudu. Before asking from Allah, do wudu. Do wudu. Ablution. Wash yourself. Adab. Just do wudu. And then make the connection with Allah. And then see. Because a person does wudu, he's purified, you're going to Allah, Rabbul Alameen. Should we not do wudu? Say, tell me, should we do wudu or not? Yes, we should. Then this is disrespect. Big disrespect and foolishness that we're asking from Allah, we don't have wudu, we're impure. Eh? What kind of person is this who doesn't wudu? If you're praying salah, do you do wudu for salah? If you touch the Quran, you do wudu. Because we know, mashallah, it's not in your mind, but we do wudu. Because don't touch or don't pray unconsciously. So why consciously are you asking from Allah without wudu? What is the secret behind this? There's a reason behind this. The Quran, for example, when we read Quran, why do we do wudu? Because when we read in Quran, we are speaking to Allah. That's why we have to do wudu. Isn't it? Look, Musa alayhi salam, Allah said, take your shoes off. He was the prophet. Did Allah Ta'ala not say? Why? Because this is not the tree now, you're coming to meet me, Allah says. So we, the Ummati Muhammad, he went on Mount Tur. Allah says, you, and you, Allah Ta'ala says, give me your kitab, that I will tell you, come like this, and you will start reading the Quran. Allah says, me and you will start communicating. So you don't need to go to Tur, but do wudu before you touch and read the Quran. Is this not the case? So we do wudu for this reason, that we are about to speak to Allah. Communication is about to start. Why do we have to pray salah with wudu? Because Allah Ta'ala says that you are connecting yourself to me. You are traveling to me. You are asking from me. Question and answer. Meeting. That's why we have to do wudu. So if we have to do dua, who are we asking dua from? Allah. Rabbul Alameen. So do we not do wudu? We will do wudu, isn't it? Will we do it? And the wudu is not that wudu. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. It's not that wudu. Even if you don't do wudu with water, that's for these things, Quran and Salah. For doing dua, what is the wudu? Because you're going close to Allah. That's not that wudu that we have to do, the wudu with the water. That's the real wudu that we have to do. What wudu? The real haqiqi. What is the haqiqi wudu? Tawbah. Repentance. Subhanallah. Tawbah. When a person does tawbah, he is purified inside, in his heart. If a person, me and you, if the sins remain inside us, then there's a parda, the veil between us and Allah. There's a parda, the veil, a barrier, a blockade. So there's a very easy method to get rid of this, which is tawbah. What's tawbah? Allah, we have to do dua to Allah. We raise our hands and say, Allah, until today that I've committed the sins, Allah, I'm a sinful person. The sins I've committed, I do tawbah, honest, true tawbah. Allah, I've done tawbah today. I repent. I've done zina, adultery. I've done wrong things, but I promise to you, Allah, after today, I will not commit these sins. Whether it happens after that or not, what will we say? True promise, Allah, that after today, I will not carry out that sin. You will become pure totally. Allah will say, now I forgive you. Subhanallah. Subhanallah says, I've forgiven you. And he won't see the, oh, did I do tawbah first or after? No questions asked. So this is the wudu for doing dua. Repent first. Repent first. Allah, I won't do this action again at all. I used to listen to music. This will stop from today. I used to do this bad action. This will stop from today. I used to do this other action, sin. I will stop from today. Just there, sitting. And I'll say, Allah, I have stopped and ceased these actions. Allah, please forgive me. Allah says, now ask me what you want and everything will be accepted. Subhanallah. So this is the wudu, the ablution for dua. This is lazim. Compulsory condition, do tawbah, do wudu, ablution of tawbah, then ask from Allah. Then there's no need to go to anyone, no assistance needed, no help needed. And if you come, you will come to your Lord Allah and you'll ask from Him direct. Whenever you do dua, before dua, do tawbah, do wudu of repentance and say, Allah, I'm not fine, I'm still ill. Allah says, I'll give you health. Allah, please give me health. Allah, take away the illness, take away the illness. And that's it. Keep on asking with sincerity, clean, pure. Even if 40 years you have to ask, even if you have to ask for 30 years, keep on asking that dua. Alhamdulillah, dua will be made in such a way that you cannot see that I'm doing this, but remember this, but your heart will be satisfied at that time, even if you're not attaining what you need. That person who's requesting, his heart will be satisfied, he will have no trembling, no distress, no loss, because he knows that he's made a connection with Allah. And that person will say that you are severely ill, but he keeps on asking, she keeps on asking, and they're satisfied, they're asking from Allah. That's it. So let's do dua that Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to do dua in the right way. We have a great path to be connected to Allah always. So don't be distressed, don't be unhappy, don't lack hope, never think that you cannot get what you want. Do tawbah, repent to Allah and ask from Allah directly. Dua wa akhru dawan and alhamdulillah. Allahi Rabbil Alameen.